curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hey, thank you all for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens. You know, I feel like some days I'm name dropping here, but you know, I've shared with the audience that one of my favorite things in the world about doing a podcast is I get to hang with and talk to some really amazing thought leaders. And today is one of those days. I've talked about his book on previous podcasts, particularly around the idea of emerging leaders and how to lead when you don't have a title or you're not in charge. But we are so blessed today to have Clay Scroggins joining us. Clay, thanks for being here.
Ron, thank you so much. And man, when I first looked at your list of other people that have been on the podcast, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to stick out because these are all pretty famous people that you've had on here. So thank you. Thank you for having me, man. This is a treat. So thanks.
I am so pumped you're here, not just because I enjoy talking with you, but because my heart right now in this podcast, what we're doing is all about the next generation. It's all about emerging leaders, yeah. All about empowering people to do amazing things. And that's not just what your leadership's about, but the book really struck me in that. So share with our listeners, because you'll do a much better job, aren't familiar with what your leadership journey looks like, you know, in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, I have written this book, but being an author, pretty far down the list of things that I am responsible for in life for sure. So I grew up in Alabama, grew up in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They play football.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, they roll with the tide there for sure. I moved to Atlanta to go to Georgia Tech and majored in engineering, and I was studying engineering, and I bumped into this church called North Point Community Church, which is founded by and pastored by Andy Stanley. And Andy is a leadership giant. And I started attending there when I was in college and just loved it. I feel like God just used it tremendously in my life in so many ways. But I started volunteering with high school students and quickly realized that I enjoy this a lot more than I enjoy what I was studying in engineering. So I made a deal with the school. I said, if you let me out of here and give me this degree, I promise you I will never use it. And so I have made good on that promise. And I went to seminary in Dallas, Texas, went to Dallas Theological Seminary, met my wife out there. She is a Texan. And we moved back to Atlanta for me in 2004. And I started working at North Point. We moved back in 06. I started seminary in 04, moved back to Atlanta in 06. And I worked in student ministry. So I, like you, am passionate about the next generation as well, and worked with high school students for about 5 years, and then became a campus pastor at one of our locations. And now I am the lead pastor at our original location called North Point Community Church in Alpharetta. We have 6 churches in the Atlanta area, but I lead our broadcast. It was, people use the term mothership, but honestly, now we're just one of the campuses now. And then
you are motherless now.
We are motherless. Now, Andy's actually broadcasting primarily at a Buckhead church these days. He has been for about the last 6 months. So I see him on Tuesdays. And that's about it. And then I wrote it about a year and a half ago, but it released 6 months ago. And I think I started realizing that most leadership content is written to the senior leader. But what about the rest of us? What about the other 99.9% of us that are not fully in charge? And so with that in mind, and in just with my own journey of trying to figure out how to have influence from the middle, I bumped into some principles and learned some things and put the pen to the paper, wrote it down, and Zondervan was gracious enough to publish it, and it has been a blast.
We like to plug for Zondervan. They are not my publisher, but they are located 40 minutes from our offices, and they're great friends and supporters. And
that's cool.
Yeah, they're an amazing group there, and so we're big fans. So tell us about this principle of how to lead when you're not in charge. There's so much wisdom in this, and you didn't start with this concept thinking, oh, I got a book to write. It really came out of leading within the organization. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I'm glad you said that because, you know, everybody struggles with, I don't know, we're all kind of prone to struggle with insecurity or maybe even overconfidence. But either way, it's a distortion of seeing ourselves the way we ought to see ourselves. And through this whole process, it revealed in me a lot, maybe a lack of confidence that I had never really experienced before. Because when I got this deal to write this book with them, I had done this leadership talk and I loved it. I mean, it's probably my favorite thing I've ever taught before. And it's probably one of the only things that people have said, hey, will you come teach that to this group of people? And I started, when I got this deal, I thought, who do I think I am? I mean, I am no John Maxwell. I mean, I work for Andy Stanley, who was the guy's a leadership junkie, and he's just a terrific leader. And so I really struggled through that. And so I had to come to grips with my role is really to tell my story and say, hey, if my story can help anybody, then that is a fantastic thing. But I'm not trying to prescribe leadership to anyone. This is just my own journey. This is what I'm learning. And I am finding that the message is resonating with people because most people are not in charge. So for me, it was through the disappointment of promotion, I think, that I've learned this the most. Because, you know, I was at one of our smaller campuses as a high school pastor, and I used to think, man, there's so much I want to do, but I can't because I don't have enough authority. I don't have enough title or position, or my office is not big enough. And I think that I just have learned that it doesn't end. When I got a promotion, I got moved to a larger campus and I've had more authority, but I had the same problem. I still didn't have enough. And then I moved positions. I became a campus pastor or lead pastor at one of our locations, and there were still things that I could not do because I didn't have enough authority. So I think that excuse of I don't have enough authority, my job title's not big enough to be able to make the kind of change that I think we need to make is an excuse that all of us are prone to use. But what I have learned is that authority is not leadership, that authority is important and authority is helpful, but influence is the essence of leadership. And the great news in all of that is that if that's true, which I clearly believe it's true, then any one of us can have influence from whatever position we're in. So I like to think that if somebody could pick this book up, they could read it, they could process the content and personalize the content, that God may be able to drop them into any organization at any level and be able to make a difference. That was my hope in writing this book. And that's certainly my hope in my own story.
That is awesome. I love the idea that authority is not leadership, that influence is. But for our listeners and the vast majority of folks listening, based on the questions we get each week, tell us our emerging leaders, they're both men and women who are dealing with this every day. So yep. Other than buying the book, which I absolutely encourage people to do and use it like a textbook, mark it up. Other than that, how do they identify when they're in that kind of cul-de-sac of going around in circles thinking they're not getting anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is to identify the lie. I think we've got to start with the myth that we all believe that I've got to be in charge in order to lead. And you don't. You don't have to be in charge in order to lead. You can start right now. And then the second thing you got to do is you got to figure out what am I most in charge of? You don't have to be fully in charge to take charge. And none of us are fully in charge. Ron seemed to be the senior leader of your organization, but even you've got bosses. And that's one of the things I've learned is that the idea of zero authority, a complete frontier in front of me, just waiting for progress to happen, that is a pipe dream. That doesn't happen. Even when I asked Andy about all of these concepts, he said, of course, you know, he said, I feel accountable to every person that works at our church. I talked to Frank Blake, who's a kind of an indirect mentor of mine, former CEO of the Home Depot. And Frank, when he was the CEO of the Home Depot, 350,000 employees. He said, the day I became CEO of the Home Depot, he said, I felt like I became accountable to every customer of the Home Depot. That I all of a sudden now had more bosses than I ever had before. So the idea that I will never have any obstruction between me and where I want to go, that's just not true. That you will always have someone that you're accountable to and somebody that is an authority. And that's a good thing. It's the way God operates, that God operates through authority. So learning how to work under authority and learning how to have influence while under that authority is a skill that if any one of us can figure out, we can be able to make change and make a difference and create progress and do something great in the position that we're in. We can work through the organization and not against the organization. So I think identifying the lie, and then secondly, identifying what we're most responsible for. And what I'm most responsible for is me. That's the thing that I've got to take take charge of is leading myself, being responsible for my attitude, for what I'm bringing to work every single day. And if I can start there, that usually fills up a lot of my time and a lot of my frustrations of, well, my boss isn't doing this, or this other department, they're not listening to us, or they're not paying attention to us. A lot of those things, they run out of real estate if you allow the responsibility of leading yourself and choosing your own attitude to be primary.
I think that's awesome. I love that idea of we're all going to be accountable to somebody. You know, somebody we both know fairly well, Bob Goff. I asked Bob, you know, in his Love Does book, I said, Bob, why did you put your phone number, your cell phone in the back of the book? I don't really get it. You're not a gimmicky guy. And he said, oh, no, no, it's about accountability. I wanted to make sure that people knew that they could call me and I would live out the tenets of the book. And I thought great leaders crave the accountability. I think Andy talks about it, you know, being guardrails on the side of the road. And no, I think that's awesome. You talk in the book about the kind of proverbial junk closet in every organization, and we've got to, you know, go about cleaning that up. Tell us what you're thinking there.
So basically, the book is really these four behaviors that I'm trying to do in my own life to cultivate influence. And the last one is about rejecting passivity. As someone who's not in charge, one of the most common enemies of anyone who's not in charge is passivity. Because when you're not the decision maker, when you've got a boss that can swoop in at any moment and change what you're doing or ask you to stop what you're doing or to ask you to do something different, it's just very easy to get passive. And that's dangerous because great leaders are not passive leaders. And the example of the closet that I talk about is a couple of years ago, one of the things I say we make our interns do, when I say it, whenever I say this, Ron, to someone else, it always sounds like hazing. And I have to clarify, so this is not necessarily hazing, though if it sounds like hazing, maybe it actually is hazing. But we ask interns to clean out this particular closet. And it's kind of one of the first things that they do. It's kind of a team building exercise that they start their summer with. And a couple of years ago, we had an intern that had heard about this and just started cleaning it out before it was ever assigned. And I remember thinking, that is incredible initiative that somebody would take. And then I started reflecting, when you see things that work in other people, and then you start reflecting in your own life, is that present? I started seeing a lot of maybe the opposite, where I was being a victim to the organizational hierarchy. And I felt plenty of times like, man, they're not asking me to do enough, that they don't see all the potential that I have. And I wish they would call my number more or give me more opportunity. And the truth is that I think we really create more of our opportunity in life than we even realize that we do. And part of the way we create it is by picking up things that need to be done and start working on them before we're being told to. And part of the discipline of rejecting passivity is to go, hey, I'm going to take action, even if it feels like a waste of time, even if it feels like, well, they might come back and tell us that we're doing it wrong, or no, we're not cleaning it out the right way, or wrong closet. We're not wasting any effort. We're still learning something in the process. And there's something powerful about that because it creates this habit of action in us. And what I've learned is that the people that sit around with their hands open going, hey, I don't have a lot going on, but if you need me to do anything, let me know. It's sometimes done in a great spirit. But if you sit around with your hands open, waiting for somebody to put something in your hands, chances are you're going to find yourself empty-handed. And I think it's a place to be aware of. I had this guy work for me that every time we had a one-on-one, he'd say, hey, I don't have a lot going on. And if you need me to do anything, let me know. And I think he was asking me that with a great heart and with a sense of honor and respect and willingness. But the problem was, is that he was essentially asking me. I remember one day when it hit me, I thought, you're asking me to do your job and I've got to do my job. Because part of your job is figuring out what you need to do. Part of your job is figuring out what's most important in your area. And even if you think it's the wrong thing, to pick something up and start working on it. So I just think it's a healthy habit for any one of us to figure out what is the closet that needs to be cleaned out today. And there's a lot of ways where you can figure that out. You know, you can pay attention to what your boss is most worried about. That's probably the easiest way. Pay attention to that thing that gets brought up over and over again that nobody's working on, and be willing to say, hey, is anybody working on this? Nope. All right, well, I'm going to take a stab at it. And even if it doesn't go well, it's still worth doing because it's a habit of rejecting passivity.
I think that's awesome. Couldn't agree more. You know, but it reminds me of the movie that was out a few years ago, The Intern, where, you know, the 70-year-old intern cleans the junk table up where everybody dumps everything, their junk drawer, and the boss then trusts. That was the genesis of their relationship starting.
Yeah, you're building an aptitude of faithfulness. You remember the way the GPS system used to work? Now no one uses this anymore because we just use Google Maps on our phone or whatever. But the screen used to say, the map will appear when the car is in motion. And part of the way life works, I think a lot of times we want to sit back and go, well, I want to be able to see the map before I move. But the way life actually works is you start moving and then the map appears. And too often that's the order of it, that you got to start just taking some action, pick out a closet to clean out. And then over time you find out, wow, I don't ever want to do that again. Or sometimes you find out, man, that gave me life. That feels like what I should be doing more of. But just refusing to be passive is such an important thing for anybody who's not in charge, because the lack of authority brings a lot of passivity just naturally.
That is awesome. Let's switch sides of this. And as a point leader, as somebody who's in charge, the boss, how do we make sure we're enabling those who are leading to lead better and to gain levels of influence?
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, this is one of the benefits of working for Andy, is getting to observe what I think a great leader would do. He really is just a tremendous person to work for. And I had a meeting with him a couple of months ago where I had a list of things, that this growing list of things that I was working on, where I just felt I needed help. I needed guidance. I wasn't sure if I was doing the right thing. So I brought this list to him. I said, hey, can we get together? I got some things I need to talk to you about. We sit down, I go through my list, and every one of them, he's like, oh yeah, that's great. I see what you're saying. That's interesting. I don't know. I can see what you're saying. Wow, that's a tough one. I can see both sides to that. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he's just very non-committal. And he offered some help, but he seemed to refuse to make any decisions for me. And the more I've processed it, the more I've thought, you know, I think he was doing that intentionally. And I've heard him say before that one of the roles of the manager is to make as few decisions as possible. And so I think just the simple habit of trying to make as few decisions as possible, trying to be someone who asks a lot of questions, help people self-reflect, but really giving the people that work for you the space to make decisions, to make a decision that works, and even to make a decision that may even fail. I think that takes a lot of self-discipline, because that feels very scary to do that. But I'll tell you, he's done that with me, and it's inspiring. It feels intimidating oftentimes, but it's the kind of place that I want to work. I mean, he's just left so much space for me to be able to lead, because he seems to refuse to make decisions for me, and really just what he has given me to own, he has really given me to own. And that's a remarkable attribute on his part.
It is a remarkable attribute. You know, we're bumping up against the time. What's the one characteristic that you believe every leader must possess to be successful?
Well, I'll give you my answer, but before I do, I just listened to my friend Frank Blake was on the Tim Ferriss podcast last week. Did you listen to it?
I did.
Did you hear what he said Jock Welch said was the key to leadership?
I don't remember.
He said it was generosity.
Yeah.
Which that floored me, because that was not what I would think that Jack Welch would say.
Yeah.
I don't know Jack Welch, but I read Straight from the Gut when I was in college, and it's probably what caused me to go into ministry, because I thought, if that's what it takes to be successful in the business world, I don't think I have it. So, but it was such an interesting concept that generosity really is the key to leadership, because the goal of leadership should be to make somebody else's life better. And you've got to have a generous spirit and able to do that. So anyway, that's the first thought I have. But for me, what I would say is, I would say an attribute of positivity. And it's not cliche. It's not bubblegum. It really is rooted in hope, being forward-thinking, hope-filled, can-do, anything's possible kind of leader. A 100-watt bulb, not a 40-watt bulb, but somebody who's burning bright with a lot of enthusiasm and excitement. And, you know, I just guarantee you, whoever's listening, wherever you are, your boss wants you excited about what you're working on today. And even if you have to manufacture it, even if it feels inauthentic in the moment, you can choose to be authentic to a greater value, which is the greatest thing you have to bring today is your energy. More than your ideas or your education or your experience, your energy is the greatest thing you can bring. And it feels exhausting to bring it on a daily basis, but choosing that kind of ruthless, insatiable, never-ending Energizer Bunny-like positivity. It really is what separates pretty good leaders from great leaders, in my opinion.
I think you're dead on. Nobody wants to share an office with Eeyore.
Mm-mm.
That's a fact. Well, Clay, if people want to follow you, they want to know more about your leadership, are there ways to do that?
I'm on social media. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Clay Scroggins. I'm on, I've got a website, clayscroggins.com, and we have an assessment called the Find Your Influencer Score that will take you about 5 minutes. It's a great thing to do with teams because it allows you to figure out, how are you doing? Are you waiting on authority, or are you trying to lead through influence? And it really can become a great discussion topic for a team. So if you have time, go take that assessment and pass it on to the other people that you work with. But that would be the best way people could stay in touch. And I am honored that anybody would. So thanks.
Awesome. Clay Scroggins, thanks for being here. And thanks for everything you're doing to lift up leaders and lift up the kingdom. I absolutely appreciate you.
Thank you, Ron.
All right. Have a great day. And thank you all for joining us each week for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.